Well, it is wonderful to be able to be here with you today, and I'm excited that we get to close out this series together. And I know it sounds weird to be excited to finish a series, because this series has been so good for me personally, for the life of our church. But I'm excited that we're closing this chapter, but it doesn't mean we're stopping our need for Holy Spirit, right? Like, we still need Him each and every day. That's what we just sang about, and that is true for us. And I'm thankful for the way Holy Spirit has been moving in the life of our church, the things that are happening, the way He's speaking, the way He's leading us. And I love this series because it's been a reminder for us to lean into His presence, to not run away from the unfamiliar, but to lean into Him and to trust Him fully, and to know that He has our backs. And I've been praying for you this week. I've been praying that you would have experienced Holy Spirit in a real and powerful way this week. You know, I've been praying and asking God that in your times of need, you would turn to Him. And He would speak to you. He would guide you and lead you. And you would feel Him guiding you, giving you the answers you're looking for. And I've been praying that Holy Spirit would comfort you, that the Holy Spirit would wrap His loving arms around you and let you know that you are not alone, but He is with you. And my prayer has been that you have experienced Him in a very real and a very powerful, powerful way. See, when we began this series, we started talking about who is Holy Spirit? Who is He? What is He doing in this world? And why does He matter for us? And when we experience, we know that He is God. He is the fullness of the promise to us. He is the full gospel that Jesus spoke about. Not only that there is life, but that Jesus gave us a gift of the Holy Spirit, God's presence in us, empowering us and transforming us to be more and more and more like Jesus. And then we went to the Old Testament and we saw Ezekiel, this prophet, standing in the middle of a wasteland of all these dry bones that were dead. There was no life. And he speaks a prophetic word. And the bones come to life. And it's in the middle of this moment that we should be struck with awe and wonder at the very power of Holy Spirit. It should draw us to worship God more and more for His power and His presence and what He's doing in the world, even here and now. And last week, we dove into what Jesus told us in John 14. And it was there that Jesus spoke in depth of who Holy Spirit is, what He's going to do, what He's continuing to do when He comes in this world, and how Holy Spirit is our advocate. He's there for us when we are in need. He goes before us, and He's on our side, and He guides us. He walks with us in this life. He doesn't leave us alone. And He helps us to be more and more and more like Jesus. And we also looked at how Holy Spirit's our comforter that brings us peace that only God can give to us. Nothing else in this world can give us the peace except for Holy Spirit. And today, as we wrap up this series, there's one question that keeps coming to mind. And it's a question that I've been asking. And it's, Holy Spirit, what do you want for us now? Holy Spirit, what is it you want to do here and now? And Holy Spirit, what are you leading us to do here and now? And today we're going to be in the book of Acts. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there. And if you don't have a Bible, there are some available for you in the pews. And as always, if you don't have a Bible at home, we just want to gift you one of those Bibles. You're free to take it home with you today. But in Acts chapter 10 and 11, that's where we're going to be sitting. And there's this really, really cool, powerful thing that happens in Acts chapters 10 and 11. Something that I don't want us to miss, because it's a reminder for us here in this place of what God is doing even here and even now. And these chapters 10 and 11 in Acts are about a man by the name of Cornelius. And Cornelius is this Roman officer. He's a captain of the Italian regiment. Actually, his title, we would call him a centurion. And that means that he oversaw this company of officers. It could have been anywhere from 100 to a couple of hundred of men. And Roman centurions, they're all throughout the New Testament. Actually, they're the ones who are standing there watching the crucifixion happen. They're the ones that crucified Jesus. And there's actually one of the centurions that stands there. And as Jesus dies, he says, "Well, surely this was the Son of God." He's the one that makes that observation. And so these Romans are in the story of Scripture, and we see them. And what we know about this position that Cornelius has, it's a very high rank in the Roman army. He's actually somebody that has a lot of power, and he's has a lot of prestige, and he's somebody who actually stands on the front lines of war. And so not only is this a powerful position, but it's a dangerous position. And it actually, because of that, they're paid very, very, very well, because they're willing to risk their lives for their army. And so we have this influential man, Cornelius. People look to him to be a leader. And that's who we're going to be introduced to in Acts 10 today. And what makes him even more interesting is the fact that he's a Roman man, but we're told that he's a God-fearing man. And so this is what it says in Acts 10, starting in verse 2. It says, "He, Cornelius, was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. And he gave generously to the poor, and he prayed regularly to God." This is who Cornelius was. Cornelius is somebody who fears God, who gives to the poor, who prays, and we're told that he's even led his household to do the same. If he were here today, we would say he's a good Christian man. He's fitting the box. He's checking the mold. He's got it all figured out. He's a good guy. And then something unique happens with Cornelius. As he's in his time of prayer, a vision comes to him. An angel of the Lord appears before him, and he's told to go and send for Peter. Go and find this man named Simon Peter, who's living right now, who's staying in the city of Joppa. And when you go and when you find him, he's going to be staying in another man's house named Simon the Tanner. And so Cornelius does. He actually sends for Peter. He sends one of his officers and somebody who's devoted to him and his servants, and they go and they get Peter and they bring him back. And so that's where Cornelius is at in the story. We're going to pause Cornelius for a second, and we're going to move to the other side, and we're going to look at Peter today. And Peter is the same Peter, the disciple Peter, the one who has been walking, living, doing life with Jesus, following him, learning from him. The same Peter who denied Jesus and then later on the beach after Jesus is resurrected, is redeemed, restored, and forgiven. And then it's the same Peter who is filled with the Holy Spirit, who preaches the gospel on the day of Pentecost, and hundreds and thousands are saved because of his message that he gives there in that moment, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And so that's who Peter is. And when we catch up with Peter, he's staying at Simon's house, the tanner. And what we know of Peter is that just before this, as he's traveling throughout Joppa, he's preaching the gospel message, and he's visiting other believers, and he's encouraging them. He's giving them life. And we also know from Scripture that he's been performing miracles, that God has been at work. Holy Spirit is using him in a very powerful, powerful way, and he's healing people. Actually, just before we meet him in chapter 10, in chapter 9 of Acts, we're told that he has raised Dorcas from the dead. This woman that was dead, he's raised her from the dead. That dry bones can live again, that is still true in Acts 9. It wasn't just for Ezekiel, but dry bones, dead bones, come to life again through Peter's words by the power of the Holy Spirit enabling him. That's the power that's available. And that's the power that we're meant to live in. And so far, if we're looking at Peter's life, we're going to say his missionary journey that he's been on, it's a success. People are coming to know Jesus. People are being healed. The church is being encouraged. It's successful. And then in Acts 10, verse 9, it says this: "The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Joppa, where Peter was staying, Peter went up to the flat roof to pray." I want to stop there, because there's something that I don't want us to miss if we just continue to blow through the story. Because there's something that is absolutely vital to this story. If you were paying attention when we were introduced to both of these men, to Cornelius and to Peter, there's something that they're doing in common. They're praying. They're spending time with the Lord. If you want to take notes today, I encourage you to write this down. It's that Holy Spirit enables us to be with. And we leave it open there, but I would add in, be with God. See, both of these men, they're God-fearing men. And what they're doing here in these moments that we meet them, they're spending time with nobody else but God the Father in prayer. And that's something that we can't take for granted. Being with God is something that we can always do more of, and it seems like we can never do enough of. I love what Romans 8 tells us about Holy Spirit and what he's up to in this world. This is what Romans 8, verses 1 through 2 tells us. It's not on your screen. It says, "So now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." We're told that we've been freed from the power of sin by the Spirit, one that leads this life that leads to death. And now that we're freed from it, this is what it tells us in verses 14 through 16. It says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are called children of God. You have not received a spirit that makes you a fearful slave. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own child. And now you can call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." See, when we're freed from our sin by the power of Jesus' blood through Holy Spirit, we're called and now we're joined with God as children of his. And I love that scripture tells us the Spirit enables us to be with God in such a real and powerful and personal way that we can even call him Abba, Father. That's a very intimate term. That's like somebody saying dad or daddy or dada or papa. It's a very powerful, intimate name that involves a closeness. And we get to be with God as his children. Beloved, we're cherished and we're prized by him. And it's all because of the power and the presence of God at work in us when we place our faith in Jesus. We can't miss this. We're meant to spend time with God because being with him is necessary. We can't do anything apart from him. And it's the Spirit that enables us to call him Father, to see him in that light. We're enabled by the Holy Spirit to be with God in a powerful and personal way. I want to share with you some of the most powerful moments that I've had just being with God. I was remembering this morning, thinking of it this morning. There's a place that I always go to back in Grand Rapids whenever I go and visit. And it's this park. It's called Heritage Park. It's in Granville. It is absolutely nothing special. There's this little pond there, but it's the place that I've met with Jesus the most often. And it's a place where I remember sitting on this one particular bench when I was asking God if he's leading me to go to Pennsylvania. And it's a place I remember, that same bench, I sat down and I asked God, "Why did my friend have to die?" It's a place where God has not only comforted me, it's a place where God has guided me and led me. Some of my favorite moments being here as your lead pastor have been right here in this room with nobody else. Or the Monday night prayers before anybody shows up, where it's quiet, where it's still. And I sit and I ask God, God, would you show me you? Would you be with me? Would your love just love me in this moment? See, being with God is one of the greatest gifts that we have. In each and every day, we have an opportunity to just sit, to be with him. Sometimes that means we have to stop our own agendas. It means we have to maybe reprioritize our life so that we have the opportunity when we're willing to just sit with him. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture is Psalm 46:10. It's familiar. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes we see that as a command, that we're commanded to be still and know that he is God. And maybe you need that command, that you need to be still and know that he is God. But I see that verse in a different way. To me, it's an invitation from him. It's an invitation for me to stop everything and to really know him, to know who he is, know his heart for me, that he loves me. And this invitation has been so powerful for me. The opportunity that I get to know my God, the one who created me and who loved me even when I was a sinner. We can't miss that we're called to be with God. We're called to be with him in a real and powerful way. It's out of Peter and Cornelius's being with God that we see them move to become who they're meant to be. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. As we sit and we are with God, the Holy Spirit enables us to become and to become more like Jesus. See, Peter is brought into Cornelius's place and he meets with him. And it's interesting because Cornelius, when they first meet one another, Cornelius bows down and is praising Peter for who he is. And Peter's like, "Stop that. Like, what are you doing? You're being a fool right now." Those aren't his words. Those are mine, but close enough. But what's interesting is Cornelius has invited a ton of other people to this gathering. His family, his friends, close relatives, all of these people are there gathering. They're waiting for Peter. But what's interesting is not only does Peter tell him to stop being a fool, Peter says these words to him. He says, "Cornelius, you know that it's against my law for a Jewish man to enter into a Gentile home or for me even to be associated with you." Kind of a weird, rude welcome for somebody coming to your house, right? You know, I don't expect somebody coming to my house to say, "Hey, you know this is against the law, right?" See, Peter's this Jewish man, Cornelius is a Gentile. And the Gentiles during that time are seen as people who are unclean because they didn't really follow God's laws that the Jewish people did. And so they were seen as the others. But what we see is who Peter is starting to become in this moment. How he's becoming like Jesus, whose message is not just for the Jewish people, but whose message is for every single one of us. And in Acts 10:34, these are Peter's words. Peter replied, he says, "I see very clearly God shows no favoritism." And then after this, Peter preaches the gospel, shares the life and death of Jesus and the resurrection and a group of people who with this group that he's not meant to be associating with. But the question we have to answer is, how does this happen? Like it's cool that he preached and it's cool that he did all that and things happen. And I'm not negating that. Like, hear me on this. But why is it that this matters to us? Because it was in Peter's being with God that he realized who he's meant to become like Jesus. So here's what's happened in Peter's being with God. that moved him to become who he's meant to become. Peter was praying, and he was alone on the rooftop. And he's there, and he's praying, and all of a sudden he sees this vision from God where a blanket, this cloth, comes down, and it has all of this food on it that's considered unclean for a Jewish person to eat. And he says to the angel that's there, or to God that's there, that he's talking with, he says, "I cannot eat this food." And then it happens again. The cloth is there, and he says, no, you don't understand. I can't eat this food. And then it's in that vision that Peter is told these words: "Do not call something unclean that I, God, have made clean." And then he's brought to Cornelius' house right after that moment. This house where he's asked to share the gospel, and he does, and what he does is he concludes his message in Acts 10:43 saying these words: "He, Jesus, is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name." Peter makes a connection that this vision about food wasn't about food at all, but it's about the message of Jesus that is for everybody. The reason Jesus came to this earth was not just for a specific group of people to get saved, but it's for all of us to experience the life that Jesus has for us when we come to faith in him. He realizes who he's meant to become, which is somebody who shares the message of Jesus for all of us. Holy Spirit is still at work in us, helping us to become who God needs us to be for his purposes and for his will to be complete in the world today. Our old ways of thinking need to be changed, and our old ways of living need to be transformed for us to become more and more and more like Jesus. But that starts with us being with Jesus. And as we become more and more and more like Jesus, in our becoming, we begin to do what Jesus did. And the Holy Spirit enables us to do what we're meant to do. We go where we're led to go. See, Peter, the Jewish man, is not only going to a Gentile's house, but you have to remember he's also going to a Roman officer's house. That's a key factor. The Jewish people were still under slavery and oppression from the Romans during that time. And so this Jewish man is summoned by a Roman officer. That's typically not a good thing. But yet Peter goes and does not hesitate because Holy Spirit is the one that called him to go. Acts 10:19 through 20 tells us this. It says, "Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision that was given to him, the Holy Spirit said to him, 'Three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, go with them without any hesitation, and don't worry, for I've sent them.'" Peter goes without hesitation. He does what he is led to do. And when he's there at that household, he's led and compelled to give a gospel message. And he does. He preaches the gospel. And guess what happens? Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles in a way that has never been experienced before. It's like another day of Pentecost that happens in this household of Cornelius. They're filled with the Spirit. They're all speaking in different languages and tongues. They're all telling about the wonders of God because Peter did not hesitate to do what he was meant to do, to become who he was meant to become, all out of being with Jesus. But Peter faces opposition. See, the other Jewish people, the other people following Jesus at this time, they heard what happened. And they ask him, this is my translation, they say, "Bro, what's up? What happened?" And then in Acts 11:4, Peter told them exactly what happens. Peter goes all the way back to Joppa, and he explains and he walks through with them. "I was having a dream, a vision from God. He called me here. I went. I was led without hesitation. I went, preached the gospel. Holy Spirit fell in this place. Jesus, his message was shared. People came to faith in him in a very real and powerful way." And then this is what I love. In Acts 11:17, Peter says these words: "And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift that he gave us, and when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, You ready for this? He says, "Who am I to stand in God's way?" See, when we're enabled by the Holy Spirit to do what he's calling us to do, our job is not to stand in his way. That means that we're meant to say yes before we ask how. Our job is to be obedient. Our job is not to be in charge. We're called to follow Jesus, not try to lead him to do what we want him to do. But it all starts with us sitting, with us being with God. And when we're with God, we realize that we're meant to become like Jesus. That there are things in our life that we're doing, ways of thinking that we have, patterns in our life that need to change. And they're stopping us from doing what Holy Spirit is leading us to do. And I want you to know that this is not a one-and-done process. It's not just a checklist to complete that, okay, I sat with Jesus. Okay, I maybe changed the way I thought. Okay, I did something this week. It's not one and done. This is a continual, ongoing thing that every single day we need to go through this process of being with God, of sitting with him and asking for him to reveal to us what it is that needs to change. And Holy Spirit, what is it you're leading me to do each and every day of my life? So today I want to invite you to be with God. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to have you to close your eyes, get a little comfortable if you need to, and close your eyes for a moment. Take a breath in and breathe out. Take another breath in and breathe out. The Old Testament word for that breath is this word ruach. And it's the same word that's used as the Spirit's hovering over the waters in the very beginning of creation. So as you're breathing in, breathe in God's Spirit. Spirit that he put in all of us, and breathe out the worries, the cares, everything you have in this world. And in your mind, go to a comfortable place. Maybe it's a bench at a park. Maybe it's your friend's couch. Go to a place that feels safe. And as you're there, ask the question, say, God, would you show me what you love about me? Holy Spirit, would you help us to feel your love here and now? And ask Holy Spirit, who are you helping me to become? Would you show me what needs to change so I can become more like Jesus? And then ask Holy Spirit, would you show me what it is you're asking me to do? God, we can't help but be thankful for your presence. God, that you're here and you're with us now. God, thank you for showing us what you love about us. And Holy Spirit, thank you for also challenging us, reminding us that we're still works in progress. But we're not alone, for we have you with us. Holy Spirit, would you help us to say yes to you and stop asking how? Would you enable us to do what it is you're asking us to do without hesitation, so that more and more people can come to know you? It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.